But let me ask you a question. You walk down the street and there's a Starbucks, there's a Tim Hortons, there's a Second Cup.
Right.
Which one would you go to?
Me personally?
Yes.
I'd probably go to Starbucks.
Okay, that's because that's what you like.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Does Starbucks say to Second Cup that you're discriminating against me? Does Second Cup say to Tim Hortons that you're discriminating against
right,
me?
Right.
It's about preference.
Like, right. Yes.
And I feel like that's one of the things that a lot of people don't understand is that sometimes there's one thing when you do not have choices, when you do not have an option, and you're like, okay, I really want Starbucks, but I need my coffee, and Tim Hortons is the closest thing right now.
Yes.
So guess what? You're gonna go to Tim Hortons,
right?
Because that's what's there. That's what is available.
Right.
But if you go down the street and there's Starbucks and there's Tim Hortons and there's Second Cup and there's all of these other things, you would pick the one that speaks to you.
Right.
And it's about creating options. It's about having that option.
Right.
A lot of times women do not have that option.
Right.
So if we create a service that's for women, we're not being discriminatory.
Right.
We're just giving women an option.
That's
we're giving
fair.
Them an alternative.
Okay, so welcome back for another episode of the Making It In Toronto podcast, the how-to guide for reaching your potential in the city of Toronto. I am Othniel Litchmore, and this is episode 12. Thank you so much for listening today. Okay, so that clip you heard in the beginning was off my chat with Aja Addo, and that was her explaining the true value of the female-only ride-sharing platform she created called Driver. Now, let me just go into defensive mode right off top. I messed up her name at the beginning of the interview because Aja starts with an A and not with an I. So the whole interview, my brain and my mouth were in this heated battle to get her name right. I mean, we still ended up having a good chat. You know, we got through that. I made a couple of mistakes, but forgive me. And she forgave me, so don't get mad. Now, Aja is the founder of two organizations. Her first organization, it's a not-for-profit. It's called Power the Girls, and it empowers and mentors young women. And now her latest project, Drive Her, is sort of like an Uber for women. You know, same concept, except whereas Uber will have male and female drivers and riders, Drive Her will only have female drivers and will only accept female riders. What's also different about Drive Her is that it isn't just a technology or transportation company. It's also meant to create a community and empower women both as drivers and riders. So that was something that's really big for Aja. She's not just going out there trying to create some tech startup. She's actually trying to build community. She's actually trying to do some meaningful community work with this project. Throughout her career, Aja has demonstrated a passion for supporting and developing women and girls, and Driver is simply like an extension of that. She's not trying to compete with Uber or the other ride-sharing platforms out there. She really sees herself as someone who cares deeply for her community and wants to create a safe space for women. In our chat, she talks about the challenges she encountered setting up Drive Her, how she got the idea, the funding, and how she was able to generate so much media attention around the platform. She also talks a little bit about the haters, and you know, I brought up some things the haters said, and she addressed it pretty well, so you can look forward to that. Currently, Drive Her is engaged in a crowdfunding campaign that ends on November 1st, so they can get the $20,000 required to get the transportation license to operate in the city of Toronto. I would encourage anyone hearing this to head on over to fundraiser.com. That's fundraiser.com/driveher to safety to donate to Aja's impressive vision. She mentioned in our chat that this is a social enterprise. It's a for-profit business with a really great cause behind it. So again, if you get a chance, go over, make that donation so she can get this off the ground. I know I'll be making a donation. You can follow Aja on Facebook. You can add her as a friend, and you can head over to the Drive Her page and like it on Facebook. And if you're looking for the app's available on iTunes and on Google Play. It's Drive Her. That's D-R-I-V E-H-E-R. You can download the app. It's not operational yet. Again, they need to get that funding to get it all up and going. But the app is available for download. And when everything gets going, women can get their rides and sign up to be drivers. So I really love Aja's energy, and I think there's a lot I can learn from her. So this is my conversation with Aja Addo. Let's take it away. So my guest today is Aisha Addo. I'm sorry. I told you I shouldn't be struggling with your name. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So it's Aisha Addo.
Yes.
And Aisha is the founder and executive director at Drive Her. Drive Her is a ride-sharing service designed to provide safe rides for women, enhance community, and further female empowerment by being an alternative transportation service for women in the GTA. So, thanks for coming through, Aisha.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
So, I guess the first question is really, what is Drive Her? Like, I got the official formal on the website definition, but I need you to tell me, like, what it is exactly.
What is it? Oh, my God. So I think it's a safe space. Drive Her is empowerment. Drive Her is community. But most importantly, Drive Her is for women by women. And I think that's one of the things that sets us apart, because we're creating a space where women can feel safe, women can feel empowered, and just, you know, really get from point A to point B in one piece.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. So it's a transportation company.
Yes.
Okay. And is it set up? Tell me a little bit how it's set up. Is it set up like Uber sort of thing?
So I it's set up as a ride sharing platform. So it has, you know, the app connecting one person to the other via an app. And it's essentially that's the concept.
Right.
But in terms of like the nitty gritty and like the back end, it's more than just an app, and it's more than just a service. It's also really about cultivating community and, you know, growing the ecosystem that is women, and that's empowerment and all of that stuff put together.
I like it. So there's more like humanity to it than
yes.
your simple like transportation, yes. ride sharing service. Nice, nice. So what exactly is your role in this whole thing?
It's my baby. I think that's just the best way to put it.
Yeah. You're the one that came up with the concept and everything like that.
Yes, the concept in Toronto.
Okay.
For sure. Because this is something that has been happening in other parts of the world. It first started in India, and then there was one in New York. Recently, there's been one in Orange County. There's another one coming up in Boston. So for Toronto, I am the brainchild. But there is a service like this in other parts of the world.
How did you get started in all this? Tell me a little bit about your upbringing, your education, a little bit of your work experience. You don't have to go into a lot of details.
Oh, my God. I grew up in Ghana. And one thing that was always dear to my heart is really seeing how women were revered in Africa, in some parts of Africa.
Well, when did you come to Canada?
2005.
2005. Okay,
yes.
How old are you at that time?
I was
14.
Oh my God,
okay.
You just gave away my age.
No, I was going to ask you that later. We were going to get to that.
But yeah, I came to Canada in 2005.
Okay,
and
nice.
In Ghana, it's like women were holding down communities. Women
right.
were holding down households. And that was expected as
right.
a woman. Like, your place is the kitchen, or your place is this. And that in itself, it was empowering, but then also disempowering, because women were not given the same opportunities. Like, it was like there was this one-size-fits-all role that women were supposed to play. And I feel like that played, personally, that sort of helped me realize that, yes, my mom has instilled a lot of values in me that I still hold dear today. But then also at the same time, she opened me up to other opportunities. And
yeah.
she let me know that I can do everything and anything, not only because I'm a woman, but because I'm human.
Right.
I have those capabilities, right? So that was sort of like how it all came together. And that is how it all plays into everything that I do now, right?
Right.
Because I don't want you to see that I'm only doing this because what's the word? I don't want you to see like my gender first. I want you to see my capabilities.
You have another organization,
yes.
Power to Girls. Talk
yes.
a little bit about Power to Girls.
So Power to Girls is a nonprofit, and our aim is to really empower young Black girls, young girls, marginalized girls within the community by providing mentorship, leadership, and also programs that sort of get them to get in touch with themselves and develop themselves while they are there. Because really and truly, girls are the future of, you know, the world.
Yeah,
like, not to be biased.
No, it makes sense. No.
You know, and once a girl has an understanding and knows who they are and know what they can do within the community, it's like, you know, the possibilities are endless. So that's where Power to Girls comes into play. Really just providing programs and providing opportunities for young girls to be mentored by women that have been there before and women that have, you know, put themselves in the place as mentors.
Nice. Okay. So I guess that's part of the whole story that you started with Power to Girls and you're moving, not moving. I guess you're gonna do both things at the same time, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So when did you come up with the idea of Drive Her?
So that it came about around sometime August last year.
Okay.
I came across an article about a service like this that started in India. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. So I actually shared it on my Power to Girls Facebook page. I'm like, this is amazing. So a couple of weeks after, I was just thinking, I'm like, this would be a really cool concept in Toronto. So I started doing research, but just like any entrepreneur, like, you know, when you get an idea to do something, you're like, you're hesitant because you're like, this is big. Like,
yes.
This is
yes.
a big step. So it was really, I called a friend of mine. I'm like, hey, so I got this idea. I want to do this thing. And they're like, oh, that's amazing. You know, that's really good. I'm like, all right, great. Okay. And then I forgot about it. I'm like, it wasn't more so that I forgot about it. It was more so I was hesitant. I'm like, can I really do this? So I'm like, I'm not even gonna, you know, push it, but it would not leave me. I spoke to my dad about it and like, I started asking questions and I started doing research. I'm like, I'm not going to do this, but I just want to know, you know, what's the statistics saying about, you know, a service like this? Why is it needed? Why is it important? And throughout all of that, it also brought me back to like my personal experience in a taxi where I remember I felt like super uncomfortable because the taxi driver started asking me some really uncomfortable questions. One of them was, I think one of the things that really gave me like a red flag was when he asked if I lived alone. And I'm like,
that's a taxi driver need to know that.
Why do you, exactly. Like, you know what I mean? Why do you need to know that?
Yeah.
Like there's one thing when you're starting conversation and like I've had some amazing conversations with some taxi driver, but this one was really like, I'm like, oh my God. And it was late at night, you know, and you're driving down the highway. Like you cannot get off on the highway.
Yeah.
So I ended up calling a friend of mine and I'm like, yo, I need you to stay on the phone with me until I get home. So I was able to escape that. But throughout remembering that experience, I also thought like, what would have happened if my phone was off?
What
would have happened if I didn't have anyone to call? What about the women that sometimes stuff like this happened to them? And you know, some of them are, they don't get the opportunity to really get home safely because, you know, it ends up being something totally different.
Right.
So I started looking into that and just really started doing more research. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. Made up my mind, I'm going to do this. And I'm like, nah, forget it. And I had a conversation with one of my mentors and I was like, so I have this idea to do this thing. She's like, oh, it's really cool. And she said that there was a pitch contest happening and that I should apply. I'm like, no, I'm not. So I ended up applying anyways. And I got a call. If the pitch contest was like Sunday, I got a call Saturday saying, oh, so we really like your idea. We would love for you to pitch tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, thank you.
what was the reward or what was the prize?
$5,000.
$5,000. Okay, nice.
So yeah, that's $5,000 on the line. And okay. I was like, okay. So it was crazy because a week before that, like I'm going into like the background of like an entrepreneur. It's interesting.
Okay.
The week before that, I had called a friend of mine and I'm like, hey, listen, I have this idea and I want you to help me flesh it out. So we like got, it was two friends. It was myself and a friend of mine. And then the person that was helping us flesh it out. And we put together, like, we did, like, the whole lean canvas. I don't know if you're familiar.
Yeah.
So we did, like, the whole lean canvas. And, You know, it was amazing. And they're like, yo, this is good. And I'm like, yeah, so we can do this, we can do that, we can do that. So when the call came that I should go pitch, that I called my friend. I'm like, so you're not going to believe this. I'm pitching tomorrow at this. And it's like, okay, what's the reward? I'm like, I get $5,000 to go towards, you know, my business. And I'm like, I don't think I'm ready, Dawn. Like, yo, you're good. You got this. You got this. You know, gave me the confidence, you know, pushed me. I'm like, all right, cool. So time came. And like, you know, it was like a whole Black History Month event. So this was back in February.
Right.
And so there were things going on. And like, I'm sitting in the corner with a pen and a paper. And I'm just like jotting. I'm like, okay, what am I going to say? How am I going to say it? And because like I've been around a lot of arts, like people, I'm like, okay, it has to have a story just so that people can connect with it. And the amazing thing about this contest is that the audience gets to vote.
Oh, okay.
So it was really like, oh, great. Now you're going to put your idea in front of hundreds of people and they're going to validate you.
Right.
You know, so the pressure was on. So time came for us to pitch. Originally, the lady had told me that there was going to be about four people that were pitching. And I'm like, okay, no pressure. When we got there, it was only between me and another guy.
Oh, okay,
and
I'm okay. Like, no,
oh
fine.
My God. Yes. So all the time came.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to let the gentleman go first. So the gentleman ended up going and then I went. And then I just started talking and like you're speaking and you can see people voting, right?
Yeah.
So like the thing just kept going and I'm like, oh my God, great. So when I finished, they gave the audience like about a couple of minutes for them to like sort of vote. So you're standing there and like you're just watching the slider just go to you.
Yes,
and then it will just come back. And I'm just like, this is a crazy experience. I don't know if I can do this. So I ended up closing my eyes because I'm like, I can't watch this.
Yeah.
And then she did like, she started doing the countdown. And then I opened my eyes and I had some of my friends in the audience. And then she's like, you got this. I'm like, so when she said, okay, the money, I'm like, ooh, that's great.
Right.
But then with that also came much more pressure because now you have accountability, like you're accountable to the community,
right?
And you're accountable to the people, so it also sort of validated that this was something that a lot of people needed.
Okay.
And that was just how it's been from then to now.
Okay, nice. So I got a couple quick questions. So are you like a programmer or computers?
No.
Technology person? No.
You did the background check on me. So
yeah,
you know
we didn't see none of that.
Accounting.
No, we did some digging. We didn't see it. But I was thinking maybe you had some hidden skills or anything.
I have a lot of hidden skills, but programming is not one yet.
Yes.
It is something that I actually do want to learn.
Okay.
But no, I'm not a programmer.
So you're really just the person driving the idea, and then you're going to assemble a team to bring it all together.
Yes.
Very nice. So why do you think like, okay, so going back to the problem, or not the problem, but the thing you're trying to address, right? Mm-hmm. What do you think? Because the taxis are bad. I think we're pretty much in agreement that taxis aren't the nicest thing in 2016. And this is where Uber came in and did their thing. So don't you think Uber is like addressing the issue as it stands right now?
Okay. So one of the things that I realized that Uber is, of course, what's that business word? A disruptor in the industry.
Yes.
And they're also sort of, in a way, pioneers in their own way. One of the things that makes DriveHer different is that it's not really, 'cause Uber is a technology company.
Right.
DriveHer is a community-based company.
Ah,
and that is what,
that's
one of the things that I really want people to be able to understand is
that
with Uber, they created an app and they're like, okay, it can do this. So great. Let's put it out there.
Right.
With us, we're addressing an actual need and an actual service and an actual demand. And I feel like that is what sets us apart. Uber is addressing issues their own way. But then specifically when it comes to women, I feel like, again, like we had mentioned earlier, there's a lot of gray areas that is normally not talked about. And I guess that's where our service comes in because we're more community focused and we're more people focused.
Right.
As opposed to being like technology focused.
Right.
Like, yeah. So
I got you.
That's the distinct.
Okay.
Thing. Yeah.
That's nice. So I tell you what. So I you know, I'm doing my research on Asia. Sorry. I'm doing my research on Aisha. You type her name in Google and a bunch of things come up.
Oh.
So one of the first things that came up was a CBC article. So, you know, CBC interviewed you and you're talking about your ID and it's cool. And then I'm like, I wonder what the comments will be like. So I clicked out to the comments.
Yes, I read that too.
I clicked out to the comments. Maybe about 80 to 90% of the comments is like, this is discriminatory. Yes. What if there was an all men's driving service?
Yes.
What if it was all Jews or all this driving service, blah, blah, blah. And there's so many people convinced that this concept, this idea is discriminatory in a way. So how do you address that?
Okay, so I did read the comment as well, and it was really exciting times. But let me ask you a question. You walk down the street and there's a Starbucks, there's a Tim Hortons, there's a Second Cup.
Right.
Which one would you go to?
Me personally?
Yes.
I'd probably go to Starbucks.
Okay, that's because that's what you like.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
The Starbucks say to Second Cup that you're discriminating against me. The Second Cup say to Tim Hortons that you're discriminating against
me. Right.
It's about preference.
Like, right. Yes,
and I feel like that's one of the things that a lot of people don't understand is that sometimes there's one thing when you do not have choices, when you do not have an option, and you're like, okay, I really want Starbucks, but I need my coffee, and Tim Hortons is the closest thing right now.
Yes.
So guess what? You're going to go to Tim Hortons,
right?
Because that's what's there. That's what is available.
Right.
But if you go down the street and there's Starbucks and there's Tim Hortons and there's Second Cup and there's all of these other things, you would pick the one that speaks to you.
Right.
And it's about creating options. It's about having that option.
Right.
A lot of times women do not have that option.
Right.
So if we create a service that's for women, we're not being discriminatory.
Right.
We're just giving women an option.
We're giving them
an alternative.
Because that's real. Because I would imagine if you look at the stats, like 80% of taxi drivers are male.
Yeah.
And 80% maybe. And Uber probably has similar stats too, right? I don't know if you've done the research. But what about somebody that says, well, it shouldn't matter if it's a woman or a man or
whatever. That's okay. That's fine. Like at the end of the day, and this is something that I keep saying is that we're really creating an option for women. Do we want all women to use our service? Yes. Is all women going to use our service? Probably not.
Right.
But the people that are going to use our service know the need for themselves. And then they know that this is something that I need. I will feel safer if it's a woman. I will feel safer knowing that, okay, these people have been through an extensive background check. They've been through an extensive training and like, they're not just putting anybody out there on the road. Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's a matter of preference. And I really hope that, like, we live in a society where there's just so many things that are thrown at us. It's just, let's just give women a choice.
Yes. So the drivers, the intention too is to have the drivers as part of the community too, right? They're not just out here trying to get some extra dollars. No. They're part of this community too.
They are part of the community. And one of the things too that like, I feel like a lot of times we don't think about is also the safety of the drivers. So we're not only just thinking about the drivers.
Oh, that's true.
But then also the drivers because, hey, like, you know, maybe you're going to a neighborhood that you're not familiar with in the middle of the, like, all those things come into play, right? And our drivers are going to go through an extensive training before we put them out there on the road. But then we're also going to ensure that they're, of course, we're going to do our background checks. We're going to do all of those things. But really, we're giving women a choice.
Okay.
We're giving women an alternative.
But I'm going to throw a provocative question to you. Suppose I said I wanted an all-black transportation service. Like, you know, I want to have black drivers and black riders.
Let me ask you a question. What is the problem you're trying to solve?
I don't feel safe in these in these white driven taxis.
No, and you know, honestly, I understand where people come from when they ask those questions,
and
they feel like it's discriminatory. But then I also, and don't get me wrong, most of those comments came from men.
Obviously. And that's the part that really pissed me off about it.
Yeah.
Like, why are you speaking on this? This doesn't affect you. Yep. It doesn't impact you.
Yep.
All the services are already designed for men. So what are you talking? I feel
most
you on that.
Of them.
Yes.
And one of the questions that I always pose to them is that, and like I actually had, and like on a true story, one of my friends, like the person's not like super close to me, but it's someone that we are in the community together. And I remember when the whole Metro newspaper came out, and they're like, oh, I wouldn't use, like, you know, this is discriminatory. And they said it to my face.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yo, like, really though? So I asked him a question. I'm like, if your sister was assaulted by a taxi driver or by anyone in a car, for that matter, would you support this? And they didn't have an answer.
Right.
And I'm like, you see, sometimes you don't see the importance of something until it hits closer to home.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So for the people that are asking, oh, this is discriminatory, or they're saying that, I want you to ask yourself this question. If it was someone that is close to you, it's your mother, it's your sister, it's your girlfriend, it's your wife, would the narrative be different?
Right.
It was something that hit closer to home. You know what I mean? So, yeah. That's just my answer to that.
Fair enough. Okay. So, do you have any business training? Like,
Have business training?
Yeah. Did you go to business school? You have an MBA, right?
Wow. Well, my MBA is that I'm providing a service for women, and I'm a woman. So that's my, MBA.
You know what's it.
But I studied business administration accounting in George Brown a couple of years back.
Okay.
And also because I've been in the community for a very long time, that's one of the reasons why I keep saying that this is community focused, community based. Business training, I mean, life in itself is a business, yo. As a black person, you gotta hustle, you know?
That's but, about that hustle.
I don't have a formal business training. I've run a nonprofit successfully for the past 5 years. I mean, that in itself is some sort of a business.
But hold on a second. But DriveHer is for profit, right?
Yes, for profit. But we also have a social mandate. So okay. It's social enterprise.
Right. Because I was going to ask you, this is sort of different in the sense that your aim in this is an entrepreneurial venture. Your aim is to make a profit. So, even for somebody out there that's wondering if they can make the leap too, what would you say? Why do you think you can make the leap from not-for-profit to for-profit?
I think it's about really finding the balance between the two.
Yeah.
One of the things too that was... that I was looking into is the whole idea of social enterprises. And DriveHer, yes, it's a for-profit business, but it's also a social enterprise because we have a social arm to it. You know what I mean? We hope in the future to be able to provide rights for women that are fleeing domestic abuse, women that are fleeing violence, but then also at the same time supporting organizations, nonprofit organizations that work with women and girls. So we do have that social enterprise and that social value to it. And I think with anyone that is trying to make the leap between the two, I think it's about finding the balance. How do those two things come together?
Okay.
But maybe it's also because I'm a community person, so I always try to find the balance, everything.
So, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So I know a little bit about the Indiegogo, or I saw that somewhere. But the bigger question is, how have you been able to raise money for this? And what was your, aside from the $5,000, where have you been able to get the money to build
it? So the $5,000 was really good. That really went a long way. But it's been this is part of the entrepreneur's journey. It's been super challenging. It's been hard trying to just, get the funds that we need in order to get the license alone. So that's part of the reason why we're moving to crowdsourcing and hoping that, the community really supports the campaign that we're going to be putting out on October 16th. There's no amount is too little, but we really do hope that we're able to raise that $20,000 that can allow us to get the license to run in Toronto. So, we're working and we have a couple of private investors that are, interested. We're still...
They haven't given the money yet?
Not yet. We're still talking about it. Okay. So, if you're a faith-based person, send some prayers away.
All right.
We need it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So how about, so you haven't, did no venture capitalists have called you?
Not yet.
Ready to write a check?
Maybe through this, they'll come through.
Oh, yeah. We'll spread the word out. We'll spread the word out. Get it out there, trying to get you that paper. How much have you invested in the business anyway?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. God, y'all. I'm not about to give you guys numbers right now, but I just want you guys to think about it. because, you know, we have an app that's already on the app store right now. Legal fees. A lot. That's all I can say.
So what do you, let's be clear. So what do you have so far?
What do we have so far?
Yeah. So you don't have the license, so you can't actually do the driving.
Yes, but we have the app. The app is available in the app store. You can go ahead and download it. However, please do not request for a service because you will not get anyone. But download it.
Okay.
So we have the app ready in the app store. We have everything set up. Yeah. We're just waiting for license.
Okay.
Just to run.
Okay. Okay. Are you going to need some more money to keep it going once it's operational?
Of course. Of course, you would always need operational funds. But that's something that we're looking to go in, like, get in elsewhere. We want the crowdfunding to really go towards
getting the license.
Getting the license.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. All right. So remember, I'm going to put that up on the website. I'm going to put it out wherever I can funded. So how have you been able to spread the word about this? Like, I've seen you in a couple of newspapers, Metro, Flair, CBC, so on. But generally, how have you been able to get the word out? What's your marketing plan?
What is my marketing plan? We're getting technical. Really word of mouth, lots of word of mouth. And I really like to just ask people, like, what are your thoughts on this? You know, what do you think about this? And originally I had sent out, I decided to bring the idea out there, I had like a whole list of people from the media, and I just sent it out.
Oh, I see.
So that was one of the reasons why. But, like, you know, one of my mentors, she was really instrumental in, like, really helping me, like, you know, put things out there and, like, saying, okay, these people are going to call you. And I'm like, oh, this is amazing. You know, so it was really just putting it out there and putting myself out there, which is kind of scary.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah. Just putting yourself out there and everything. So you talked about mentors a little bit. Mm-hmm. Where'd you get your mentors from? What exactly do they help you with?
Where do I get my mentors from? Because of Power to Girls, I've been connected with some women that are amazing in the community and are amazing in the city itself. So really it's through that, but then also going out to places and, like, seeing people that are like-minded. Like, okay, so even take your Facebook, Twitter and all those things as an example, following people that I know that for sure are impacting my life in a positive way, right? Because social media has become so saturated with so many things. So I make sure that the people that I'm following are people that are like-minded, people that I know that can impact my life positively. And yeah, sometimes just reaching out and having conversations with people and saying, hey, so I have this idea, running things by people and getting their input. You know, I really do believe in the idea of mentorship. And like I had mentioned earlier, like, the whole concept of the village raising the child is so real to me because I experienced it in Ghana. So really surrounding yourself with amazing people is crucial. So anyone out there that's doing anything, regardless of how big, how small, you have to make sure that you have a support system. And I feel like that's what mentors do for me.
Okay. So, and you just approach them, you see somebody that's impactful and you say, hey, can you mentor me?
Well, I mean, no, not like that.
Because I don't have a mentor, right? And I'll tell you why I'm even saying the question like that. You know, so far I've interviewed maybe about 11 or 12 people and it's across the board. And I think most people don't have mentors for some strange reason. And I don't have one either. And in our last interview with Sarah, and we were talking about, like, it's just for some strange reason, we just can't seem to nail down a mentor. And some people sing its praises and other people said, Aaron Charles said life was his mentor. Like,
honestly, it's really about finding the right people. So, like, for me personally, I look at women that I aspire to be. So, like, I have, like, virtual mentors.
Right.
These are people that, like, you know, you're like, yo, I feel this lady's hustle.
Right.
I may never meet her in my life, but I feel her hustle.
Right.
And I'm going to, like, sort of read her books and see what she's doing and, like, you know, see the strategies that she applies in the things that she does, right? Listen to her TED Talks and all of those things. And then there's some people too that, like, you see them and you're like, oh my goodness. And as a woman, when I see someone, I'm like, oh my goodness, I love this lady's style. So it could be me going up to them and be like, you look beautiful.
Right.
It could be me saying, oh my goodness, where did you get that? And having striking up a conversation. For some of my mentors, I have emailed them. I'm like, I really love what you're doing with this. Would you mind coming out and speaking to my girls? And because I have not had Power to Girls, it was always reaching out to them to come out and impact the life of the girls that I work with. So conversations start like that. And then we build a relationship. And then it's like, okay, now you've taken care of them. Now I also need taking care of. So
okay,
I have questions.
Okay. Oh, gotcha, you know gotcha. Mean? Okay, okay.
It's been like that.
Okay.
You know, and sometimes even in the workplace, you know, I've done workshops for people, or I've gone to workshops where, you know, I like this person's facilitation skills. So I'll go up to them and be like, so I have this idea. And then, you know what I mean? It always starts with an idea.
Right.
Very always, good. Actually.
Very yeah. good. Very good.
I know we have to go, but can I please use the washroom quickly?
Yeah, sure. Oh, I'm going to leave that in. It's this way. It's, okay.
I'll be right back.
Sorry. Whenever you're ready, Tyler.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. Okay, so what's the biggest obstacle you have faced thus far in I guess, even with Power to Girls and even with Drive Her?
I think it always comes down to, funding is one of them, I'm not going to lie. With Power to Girls, that was one of the things that was hard because, you know, you have, like, you know, the passion, you have the drive, but it's like, oh my God, how do we support this and how do we ensure that this keeps on going? With Drive Her, it's also been that. And, you know, just really staying rooted and knowing that everything that you're doing it for the right reasons, so everything will fall into place. And just any entrepreneur's journey, like, it's frustrating. It's, you know, it's like the roller coaster. But yeah, I think that's been one of the things. And also just really getting support from the community that you're servicing, or the community that you're a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And for that to be continuous, and for that to, like, you know, yeah. I think that was, like, you know, it's, I heard somewhere, actually I just read that, you know, like, success comes with challenges. And I think it's also, like, in recognizing those challenges as stepping stones and not as, you know, drawbacks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. How did you get the funding for Power to Girls anyway? Or how are you funded?
So let me tell you the story.
Okay.
I'll make it quick.
Okay.
So basically, right now, Power to Girls is funded by YOF, the Youth Opportunities Fund.
Oh, right.
After we applied like 3 or 4 times, we finally got funding. So that's good. So that is sustaining us for 3 years.
So nice.
And then after that 3 years is over, we would have to, you know, probably apply for another funding or try to get other means of keeping the foundation going.
And you're the executive director?
Yeah.
Nice.
Founder,
exactly. Everything, you know, every a little bit of everything. Is that your full-time thing?
Right now, yes.
Okay, nice.
Right now, Drive Her and Power to Girls are my babies that I'm taking care of.
Very
right
good. Babies, yes, that you're taking care of. I like that. So what's your advice to anyone starting? You started two things. You know, a lot of people can't get one thing off the ground. This podcast is the first thing I ever started. So I'm learning as I go along. And this is why I like talking to entrepreneurs and people like yourself. What's your advice to someone starting up something now, whether it's their not-for-profit organization or their entrepreneurial business? What's your advice?
I think my number one question before advice is, what are you passionate about?
Right.
And how do you want, what's the footprint that you want to leave in society,
right,
or in your immediate community? And after you've answered those questions, just go and do it.
Yeah.
That is one thing. Like, that's actually something that I heard today of someone was telling me, like, you know what? You get the drive, you have the passion, you have the drive, do it.
Yes.
You know, the worst thing that could happen is that, well, that's even failure is not even the worst thing that could happen.
Right.
You know, but not doing it, I feel like, is your greatest is the worst thing that you can ever do to yourself. Because I had mentioned earlier that, like, I had the idea, I talked to a couple of people about it, they're like, yes, go ahead, do it, it's great. But within myself, I'm like, nah. But it wouldn't leave me,
mm-hmm,
you know? So I feel like the greatest disservice that you could do to yourself is not going through with the things that you're passionate about and the things that you feel you're called to do.
Right. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. And so what would you say are your keys to success?
Keys to success: humility, patience, but I'm still working on it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't quote me. And being relatable.
Mm.
I find like being relatable. And for me personally, it's also been faith because it keeps me grounded.
Right.
So
well, what does being relatable mean though? Before faith is, we'll get back
being to relatable. Yeah. I think it's, you know, having that openness to yourself that you do not mind speaking to a 5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and someone that has been in the business for 20 years.
Yeah.
I think that's what it means to be relatable, because I never want to lose that sense of community that I have. And it's all connected to also being humble, right? Because
right.
you're going to meet a lot of people in your walk of life, and it's you have to.
Okay.
I find that you got to be relatable.
Okay.
In order for me to connect with you, we have to have that like positive, like the energy has to be good. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Something. We have to connect some way in order
yes.
to impact each other
yes.
and stuff. Yeah.
And also knowing, and I think one more thing too, is recognizing that you never know enough
yeah.
and that life in itself is a journey and you're constantly learning and you're constantly adding to your learnings. So being open to learning new things, learning
right.
on learning and relearning.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. So the last question is, and it's a question I ask to everyone that comes on the podcast, is what does making it in Toronto mean to you?
Ooh, what does making it in Toronto mean?
Yeah. And how has your
me?
Journey been making it in Toronto? What do you think it takes?
Man. See, that was the one question that I'm like, how am I going to answer that? I think making it in Toronto is being true to yourself.
Yeah.
And being true to your calling and realizing that life is a process and everything that you do is a process. So allow that process to unfold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Drop mic.
That's a good one. All right. Well, okay,
yes.
We'll wrap it up there. Thanks for coming through, Aja.
Thank
I really
you.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you for having me.
It's good. I want to get some more. Like, I find you to be very, what's the word now? Like empowered. She's really rocking in the studio. But yeah, I find you to be very empowered.
Thank
I love to
you.
Get some
Appreciate
of your secret
it.
Sauce and stuff.
Oh my God.
So we're going to talk
have,
a little
have,
bit more.
Honestly, I was telling someone today that like after this, after Drive Her takes off, I think I'm going to write a book.
You should. I think you should.
About the entrepreneur's journey.
I think you should.
It's super long.
Exactly.
And it's
cool.
Amazing. But please support our campaign. Before I forget, please support our campaign. It's going live October 16th and it's going to be running. It's going to be live for 15 days. So, you know, those 15 days are really crucial. So please support us and, you know, let's make it in Toronto together.
Yeah, absolutely. So this podcast is going to be airing on the 20th, I think.
Amazing.
So then you can
Still
support the campaign at that time. All right. Thanks for coming through. And
Thank you. Thank
yeah.
you for having me.
Take care.
Oh my God. I can't wait to hear it.
Please stand clear of the doors.